I think the first thing you want to do when you're looking, advising a client how to set up a structure, a sales structure, is to look through the company agreement, understand how many, what the cap table looks like, as Shana indicated, and whether or not there are any drag rights and what those drag rights are. Then at that point in time, you can be in, I think it's going to be a buyer call as to whether or not they're going to want to do a straight equity purchase or ask for a what's called a reverse triangular merger, and which just means that the buyer will go and put in a will organize a merger subco, and then the target company will merge with and into that merger subco. And the target company will be the surviving entity of that merger. So that's one way for if there's a lot of minority interest holders, there's no drag right. It does allow for that buyer to ensure that there's going to be a clear cap table subject to appraisal, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that that kind of covers our minority interest holders and what to do there.
And like Jen said, you know, getting your hands on the company agreement first, reviewing that, getting an idea of who are the owners, you know, are there profits interests that have been issued? Are there different classes of membership interests? Are they unitized? Are they certificated? Just really kind of getting your arms around those items. And if there are multiple sellers, multiple members of the target LLC, you really want to think about and will likely want to build into your purchase agreement the concept of a seller's representative, so that post-closing, you're not dealing with multiple sellers. That can be a really helpful concept just so that the buyer kind of has one person to interact with or go to for issues and things like indemnification claims, escrow releases post-closing, that you're not chasing down a bunch of different people, because unlike in an asset purchase structure, there isn't still a company on the other side that you can deal with post-closing.
Right. And I will say that for the negotiation aspect of it as well. Typically, we deal with either, you know, when the founders or CEO mm-hmm. or CFO, typically CFO, they've got, you know, their hand on the pulse of, you know, all the documents, operations, et cetera. But Shane is involved in a transaction right now where, you know, there's about five members and they all want to have a say in everything.
Yep.
And I think as counsel, you need to advise your client, if they're the seller, that, you know, transaction expenses are going to be exponentially increased if that structure is adhered to throughout the negotiation mm-hmm. process. It's not efficient. Things get lost in the cracks. There's version control issues
mm-hmm.
Because there's always one member lagging behind. But I would strongly advise any seller just to make sure that you've got a couple of people that are, you know, ITK, which is, you know, in the know and are the people that you know, and you can tell your team, here are the people that you're allowed to talk to. If anyone else calls, then, you know, we'll have to, it has to be funneled through these certain point people.
And again, having those conversations early, identifying, you know, that person early and making sure that all the sellers are on board with having that person be the seller's rep going forward.
And real quickly on that, and, you know, we need to talk about a little bit, when do you make the determination that the seller's representative needs to be an outside third party?
Mm-hmm.
Typically, I tell my clients who are selling their company, but are also remaining with the company or doing rollover equity and, you know, still staying in the game and not, you know, retiring them in Tahiti, that it is advisable to have a third party seller's representative,
mm-hmm.
You know, one of these SRS or there are other entities that provide this service. But it does definitely help put someone in between you and your employer.
Yeah. And that can be in a really uncomfortable position for the buyer as well. You know, that they
right.
want this is somebody who's a key part of their team, who has an employment agreement going forward. And if there is a dispute, you know, that creates some internal difficulties. And so in those instances, it really can make sense to use a third party as your seller's rep.
It is a transaction expense, but, you know, at least you've got everything pulled out and ready to go as a part of your closing structure.
All right, so now we've vetted some of those key issues up front. We can talk about the important points in our membership interest purchase agreement. So of course, payment of the purchase price. You can have plain vanilla, all cash at closing, or a whole host of different combinations for your purchase price. Jen has mentioned rollover equity being a component, especially like she said, in the PE context, if there's kind of a parent company that will wholly own the target, very often equity is issued at that level. Of course, if you've got, you know, founders who are going to be providing services for the company going forward, it's not just, you know, somebody cashing out looking to retire, that can be a really important kind of incentive component for those folks moving forward with the company as well.
Right, and I also want to point out it's not just rollover equity, but there can be, in addition to cash consideration, there can be equity consideration, mm-hmm. which is different than rollover equity. Rollover equity is essentially if you have a buyer coming in and they want to make sure that target founders or management still have some skin in the game, mm-hmm. You know, in their term sheet, they will provide a sources and uses table. And one of the sources you'll see will be some amount, some dollar value of the purchase price, the top line purchase price being the quote unquote rollover equity. Essentially, that those members of management or those founders are going to be obtaining the purchase price, but then doing a contribution and exchange agreement mm-hmm. to roll that equity back up to either a holding company, which is the typical PE structure, or to the buyer. And